Hey, welcome back to Planet Product Owner Video Edition. We're going to talk about acceptance criteria in this quick video, give you some strategies and tips and some basic definitions. If you haven't listened already, just dropped an episode on the podcast called Acceptance Criteria. Planet Product Owner can be found on any of your favorite listening platforms. So let's get straight up into the journey here, shall we? A little bit of an introduction to acceptance criteria. So first, let's talk about a definition real quick about acceptance criteria. What do we mean when we say that? So we talk about acceptance criteria. There is a practical definition out there. It's notes about what the story must do so the product owner can accept it as complete. And we have to credit Mike Cohn for that. We have to credit Mike Cohn for a lot of stuff, quite frankly, in the product owner user story world. He was a pioneer and he led the way on a lot of these things. So we definitely want to give him credit and give him kudos for this. And so when we look at a simple definition like that, really, we got to keep in mind that the product owner is the team member who is responsible for rejecting and accepting stories. Now, you may be doing that by committee. I've talked about this on the podcast. You may be aligned with another business partner or product manager in order to make that happen. But product owner, I want you to know that you should be right in the mix of that. You have the autonomy. You're given the authority to do that. You're empowered to make the decisions on accepting and rejecting stories. Now, when we talk about accepting and rejecting stories, we're talking about conditions and guardrails and boundaries or outcomes. And what should be met in order for you to accept the story, to make sure that the team has confidence that they've satisfied your ask? That's really what we're after here when we talk about acceptance criteria. So you may have heard another term called conditions of satisfaction. You may be tossing that around your organization. You may hear it in other podcasts or other resources or references. Don't be alarmed by that. Really, the term conditions of satisfaction was really kind of brought up because the assumption was product owners couldn't write test scripts. Well, a lot of product owners come from some business analyst background or some testing background anyway. Sometimes they slide in right from the business and they come in and over. So maybe they don't have that in their wheelhouse. Now, I will tell you that if you or your organization are using the terms acceptance criteria and a different meaning for conditions of satisfaction, that's quite all right. I think of them as one and the same. Depending on what organization I'm working with, they may have some separate definitions around those. Either way, you're going to have a bulleted list of items or a description or a picture or whatever it is, depending on the nature of the work that you're doing, to describe the outcome that you're really wanting to validate so the team can ensure that they're satisfying what it is you're asking them to do and you can accept that work. Now, most importantly here, product owner, you don't want to move the goalposts on the team. You don't want to give them an idea that you're willing to accept this story based off of some shared understanding and then reject the story because it didn't work out the way that you had written it down or documented or you had that shared understanding. So be real careful about that because acceptance criteria, really, what we're wanting to do is get that story to a done state so that we can get feedback fast on the direction that we're taking next. We want to validate some hypotheses. We want to validate some assumptions. We want to make sure that we're delivering the right thing. And we can't do that unless we're satisfying the ask and what it is we're asking them to do, right? So we're going to move forward here and give you some basic tips for your acceptance criteria. Just some basic tips and best practice here. Simple is better than complex. Now, when I say simple is better than complex, what I'll show you in the coming videos might not seem very simple to you at first. In fact, it's a daunting task. What I'm going to share with you in the coming video sessions where we talk about behavior-driven development and assembling Gherkin scripts and all of that. But it really is simple. Once you get going into that, and then I promise you, you won't go back if you start using some behavior-driven acceptance criteria in the form of those scripts. Now, do your best to avoid technical specs. And product owners all across the world have a problem with this because they wait on the team to provide them a solution. Wait. Most of us have the patience of a natural disaster. I get that. But we do want to do our best to avoid technical specs in our acceptance criteria. Let the team figure that piece out as it relates to how they're coding, how they're developing, what it is you're asking them to do. Now, UAT scripts and acceptance criteria could be the same thing. I talked about this in the latest podcast episode on acceptance criteria. UAT, when I think of that, I'm thinking things like color and functionality and flow, not necessarily the form and the how and the controls and things like that. We want to focus on high-level outcomes and acceptance criteria and allow the team to build a deeper quality into the work. That's what we're really after here. And remember, all of this works together in, you guessed it, the user perspective. Because if we're practicing agility, then we're practicing customer centricity. Okay. So I've mentioned test-driven development, behavior-driven development on the podcast, and I want to dive into that just a little bit. So test-driven development, or TDD as they call it, provides that we know what kinds of technical or workflow tests we should prove as a result of what it is that we're coding here. So we're going to start effectively with a test script. So we're going to write an actual test script. We're going to test the system. We don't have any code yet, so the script fails. Now we're going to code whatever it is, the function that we're going to do, to pass the script. We're going to run it, and the script passes or fails, and we fix the code until the script passes. So really what we're saying is we're going to start with a good finish. We're going to start back in the old days, just by the way, back in the old days, I used to start with a job aid, back when we have to have job aids in software. We don't need job aids anymore. It should be ultra intuitive, right? But back in the old days, you know, we didn't really know how to point and click and do these things. So I always started with a job aid, and I'd say, hey, click this, go here, do this, do that. You should see this thing open up. When you see this, then click there. You kind of get where I'm going with that. So if you're starting with the concept of a job aid in your mind first to describe the behavior and the outcome that you're seeking, you're probably going to be in a lot better shape when you're solutioning and when you're delivering and when you're gaining that shared understanding from the team. Now, behavior-driven development is something a little bit different than test-driven development, but it is a form of test-driven development. We call this BDD. It uses a common business language that anybody can understand, like a three-year-old, right? I got my sticker on my head. Anybody can understand this language. And what we're wanting to do here is describe the behavior that we seek as an outcome to the changed software that we plan to deliver. So it's effectively working off of what we call operators and steps. The first thing we do is define a scenario that we want to explain. Some outcome that we want to try to reach. And we're going to describe a precondition. That's our given. We're going to describe a trigger or an action that must be executed, and that can be active or passive. And I go into that a little bit deeper in the next videos. That's our when. And describing a postcondition. Now, on the podcast, you guys who have been following me for a long time, I've been talking to you for a long time about terms like scenario, precondition, trigger, postcondition, and getting your brain to function in that way, because it's going to make you more of an effective storyteller, okay? And that's what we're wanting to do here. Now, you could describe multiple or subsequent actions or outcomes that come out of the action, and in that case, we can use the and. And we can even include some exceptions or exclude some inclusions, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter. And we can use that operator, the but operator. Okay. So that's just a high level right there. Again, I'm going to get into more detail in coming videos after this one. A lot of people have a pushback against behavior-driven development, though, sometimes. And I'm thinking about that, and it's like, wait a minute, this practice is something that is so easy for everybody to read. And yes, there's a little bit of a learning curve, you know, to kind of get going into it and to practice it and put it into practice. And it can be a little tricky when you start out. But understanding the basics of it really gives you everything that you need. And then from there, it's just exploring, practicing, and just getting better as you go. It's a business language that makes it easy for everybody to understand. We can all understand simple terms. And as we're describing the behavior, like I alluded to in the podcast episode about teaching my daughter how to drive, right? It's the same thing. I'm just describing the behavior. I'm going to do this in short scripts that are formatted in a way that tells a story, and it helps us to gain a shared understanding, which is what we're after. Simple test scripts, so it aids in properly sized user stories as well. It's going to help you there because you're going to realize that a lot of this stuff has so many dependencies, so many preconditions, so many predecessors that maybe we need to split this story. So it's going to help you in that aspect as well. And it's actually a programming language. You can convert this very easily if you're using the Gherkin language. You can convert this over for automated testing. There are systems out there that can understand it, interpret it, and move forward on that. They'll take the plain language, the common language that you're using, update it to some technical back-end language, and boom, voila, you got the automated test script there. So you can apply these skills just to tell the story again. And so that's some of the benefits of using BDD, or behavior-driven development approaches and strategies. Using the Gherkin language is fun. It's easy. It's simple. Once you get over the learning curve and you're helped to understand it, which is the purpose of my next two videos for you. And if you're a subscriber to Patreon, you'll be able to find all of those videos yourself as well. So today, I hope that you learned a little bit about acceptance criteria, explored a little bit about behavior-driven development. I just want to make sure that you can follow me, and I put some links down here and some information here too on how you can find me in other forms, other mediums, other than just these simple videos that are out here made public. Again, if you consider supporting me on Patreon, then you can get access to a lot more video content. You'll be the first viewers out there of a lot of stuff. I get a lot deeper in the things with actual hacks and tricks for your practice to help you improve. Please don't forget about the Planet Product Owner podcast on your favorite platform. And hey, give me some feedback, Scott at planetproductowner.org. Till next time, have a safe and fun lean journey, my friends.